Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." On this program, we focus on volunteers and volunteer activities. We talk to nonprofits and organizations as they effort to make lives better, educate us, care for those less able, or champion a cause. We in Jefferson and Clallam County are particularly fortunate to have a number of organizations that invite participation and encourage community involvement. There are those who engage through an institutional gateway and those who move to action simply driven by seeing a need and stepping up. This past year, we've talked a little bit about stepping up and cultivated inspirational stories. I find these community members are often a little reticent to share their stories, often saying they do so little. I have compelled a couple of folks to step forward as they inspire and can encourage us to think of ways that we can make an impact, improving our own lives as we consider how we might find a small niche in which we can improve the world around us. One such person who prefers not to be identified by name yet recognizes that this discussion might encourage others has joined us today. We're so happy she's considered talking with us. Honoring her preference for privacy, I suggested that we refer to her as the Garden Goddess. She prefers the Garden Crone of F Street. So welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, can I just call you GC for short?
Sure, that'll do.
I know. I was thinking, really, truly, I think you are a bit like a fairy or a goddess. So, GC, tell me how it is that you're the Garden Crone of F Street. Give us a little description of what you do.
Well, I would clarify it to say the F Street Islands, because when those islands were put into F Street, that's part of the history of it, that the engineer, I was always curious about them and talked to him, and he said, well, we're going to be looking for people to adopt these islands because we don't have enough money for continual maintenance in the future. So I said, well, I will take care of this island, you know, at the bottom of our street, and that's how it started. And then I ended up working on the other islands because it didn't look like anyone else was going to adopt them.
So for the listeners that live out of town, we're talking about kind of a traffic calming island that has vegetation in the middle of it, and it's on F Street. And when was this built, this island?
I can't remember the year.
More than 10 years back, though?
Yeah, quite a few years back. I mean, maybe 15. I'm not so good. I should have
looked
into that more for you.
But the point is you've been taking care of this island for greater than 15 years, and you're basically weeding and pruning. I mean, what is the task that you're doing on this little island?
Right. Well, you know, when they planted, and by the way, I just want to mention Jane Peterson was around town then, and she was a gardener who I looked up to and a friend. And she was the one that chose the plants for those islands, and I think she did a great job. They picked trees, like the one at the bottom of Oak Street is an oak tree that's in the center. I think they tried to get a tree that matched the tree names.
Oh, that's,
you know,
that's
for them.
Funny.
And she chose other bushes and plants that were drought resistant, because even though they watered those islands for the first summer season, they did need to survive without being watered because there's no watering system there. So she chose the plants, and then I have had to supplement with plants as some have died and as cars have driven over the islands a little bit.
And you do this as a single solitary person with some support from the city. I think when we were talking over time, it evolved with some understanding that, you know, they provided some resources for you. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, from the beginning, they were great. They gave me cones to put out because it is kind of a dangerous place out in an island in the middle of the street. So I had to put my cones out, and they gave me one of those orange vests to wear. And it was a lot more low-key in the first, you know, few years, and I would just go down and weed, and then they'd also give me some of the compost, city compost, to put over my weeded areas. And, you know, I'd prune. And then a couple years back, the city had enough help that they took care of the islands, and that was great. And they pruned the trees and laid down a lot of compost. But then, of course, in the last couple of years, there's been less money, so I've taken it up again, and they always pick up whatever I've weeded. I'll bag it up and let them know it's there, and they pick it up, and they thank me, and they let me get compost, or they bring compost. Yeah, so they've been great to work with and very appreciative.
Well, you know, it's really cool to hear about the evolution of this, you know, this single task that you're doing, but it became a little more institutionalized when you had the city provide some of the support. And we were talking earlier about some of the aspects of making sure that you are contacting the city. I mean, if someone was listening to this today and thought, oh, I know a little corner, how would I get started? You know, ooh, that was such a cool idea that GC did. Mm-hmm. How would you advise?
Yeah. Well, I think getting in touch with the public works and ask for somebody with the city parks, mm-hmm. and say you'd love to do some work. I know there's people that are volunteering around town. I've seen somebody volunteering at the Rose Gardens at Chetsumoka. I think the city, and then, of course, Earth Day every year, it seems like people come out and work on these places around town. So I think, yeah, check in with the city. See, is there something that you haven't been able to get to? Could I volunteer? And mm-hmm. they'll probably have you fill out some papers, just, you know, volunteer papers. I think it's for liability issues, just so they have you on record as signing up and know the hours you've put in.
When we were talking a little bit to kind of get a sense of how we might bring you on air, although so quietly, I loved what you shared about someone observing your safety. This kind of speaks to the contagion of your modeling an individual stepping up. And I think you told me about someone driving by and being startled. Could you share that story?
Oh, yeah.
That was
I probably have given fright to quite a few people who, when I'm crouching down, even though I might wear my orange vest and there's cones out, people get in their cars and they kind of get in a trance a bit. So I might stand up and they, you're right there next to the where I'm driving. But I'm careful. I watch out. But one time I stood up and somebody was driving by and I'll call him Marty, the artist. Many people in town know Marty. And he was so frightened for me, he turned around, went right back home, and designed a little sign for me that says, slow down, and it shows a gardener kneeling. It's a yellow sign. It's beautifully designed. So I put that in the cone now when I work out on F Street, and it's great. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
I love the contagion of what you do and how it grew into another person, a small gesture, a kind gesture, stepping up that builds this community. And I'm so thankful that we had a chance to talk with you. If you're just joining us, this is Everybody Can at KPTZ 91.9. And we are talking to the folks that are stepping up, making this the community that we love so much. So this year, I focused on the idea of stepping up. That individual who comes along and decides, this is a way I can make an impact. This is something I can do. And so my radar is always up. One day I was walking along a sidewalk on F Street and I encountered a little box embedded in a row of bushes. And at first I'm looking at this and it's what, a wine cooler? And on this glass door, it said socks. Collecting socks, donate here. And the person's name was on the bottom, and I had to know more. And I reached out to this person, Kevin. Kevin Campbell is his name. And he started collecting socks this winter for those in need, those who are challenged by home insecurity. Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So paint the picture for our listeners. You know, I paint the picture of a wine cooler and a sock drop, but tell us a little bit about this effort. You started collecting socks. Who are they for? What prompted you to do that?
We got the wine cooler just as a deal from Waste Not, Want Not, and we started growing mushrooms with our kids.
Okay.
And then that's where the wine cooler took its place. And then during the holidays, we started to make cutting boards, and just on a whim, just to try to help, I decided to take 15% to buy socks. It was inspired by a couple different people, like Invisible People, Mark Horvath. He donates socks locally, and it's just one of those necessities that people don't think about and that's easily accessible. So I thought we'd switch gears, and I took what is genuinely a wine cooler fridge and just repurposed it into a sock drop. And the town has really stepped up and shown a lot of support and continued giving donations that I've been giving out to the campgrounds and other people without housing. And it's really worked out great.
So the wine cooler is actually kind of fun. And I was looking at it, and there's like a tennis ball you can put your money in, and you put it down at like a cool little, like, how do we donate? I thought that was so clever. Describe that for us.
It's inspired from other farm stands that I've seen. Me and my kids draw little faces on these tennis balls and cut them open, and you stuff money in there and then throw it down a tube, and it kind of rolls down, and you hear it dink, and, you know, makes a little noise when it hits there. It's kind of fun, and it works out great. It's something that's a little more interactive for the community, and it's worked out better than I could have thought. It's been just over a month, and it's been wildly successful in my mind, at least for a grassroots organization.
So to be clear, you take donations of socks inside the wine cooler. People can drop off socks,
yeah.
But people also can throw a few coins or dollars in that. And I thought that was quite entertaining. I really enjoyed that. Now, tell us about who is the recipient of these socks.
I've been living here for 10 years, and I've had my own troubles with housing, and I realize how big of a problem it is. Over at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds, there's a large number of people that just don't have housing. And I try to focus there and at our local homeless shelter, the winter shelter. And then also I reach out to different organizations like Bayside Housing and Dove House to take newer donations and stuff like that are extras. But mainly, you know, you don't have to look very far to find people who are struggling and who are in need. Those are the people that I'm reaching out directly to, and I'm just asking them, hey, what do you need? I'm finding out their needs firsthand, and all of them want and need socks because that's just something you run through when you live outside. And then I take some of the money donations and buy basic necessities.
Wow. So you've expanded beyond the socks. So you get these socks and you gather them up, and do you hand them off to the organization, or are you going over to the fairgrounds yourself?
Mainly I go and do it by myself, and it's because it's just such a small thing. That being said, at one point we were getting a box of socks, averaging over a dozen socks a day. A couple weeks there.
You said something that I hear over and over again. It's such a small thing. And then you go on to say how big the impact has become. And I really, that is the lesson of something like what you're doing in your front yard. It is not a small thing. You know, the sock is a very simple way and a very important need. And yet it's grown into a drop-off for you weekly of dozens at times. And I just think that's just a really important point to make, that we can do small things that have large impact.
It's funny, too. It excites people as well, that people that might not have participated in this way before, when you give them some type of avenue or an out, like all I'm doing is walking down and just asking people that, you know, it might be intimidating to some people to do, but then they can participate by just giving socks to them, which is easily accessible and it's very useful. So it's like I say, it is still small, but the impact is big, and I hope it inspires more people to do stuff.
And how would you say, you know, you were motivated by your own sense of what it's like to be housing insecure, and what would you say is the most surprising element that you might have learned from taking that leap of faith and putting a box out there and just impacting lives?
I think that it was easy. That it really didn't take much out of my day, that it really doesn't take. There's a certain fear that people have, and I understand that. And when you just go right past that and go, hey, I'm going to try this. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but at least you tried something cool and good. And this time it worked. That's one thing is that I've learned is how easy it is. And honestly, it's so new, and I'm learning things every single day. So at this point, it's going to be cool to see where it goes. But right now, it's just, it works. It's effective.
You couldn't said anything more brilliant. That is exactly to the point. Sue, I want to make sure listeners have a way of finding this box before we sign off today. How can we drop a sock or a couple of coins into your box? Where are you located?
We're located at 630 F Street. We're kind of kitty corner to the high school. We're on a main drag. And if you're on a walk, just on the sidewalk under a big crab apple tree with lights on it, there is our fridge and a little drop box. We try to focus on socks mainly.
Okay.
And footwear, that and monetary.
Okay. Well, one of the things I notice with folks that are doing independent on their own, do you welcome any other communication from folks if they want to talk to you or reach out to you with other support, or this is kind of where you're keeping it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
No, if someone wants to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of me at Shrevin, Shrevin, 1962 on Instagram. And you can just message me direct. Also, Shrevin1962@gmail.com. That is my email. And then I also list my information on the board in front of 630 F Street. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. And I'm, like I said, I'm always learning, so anything that someone can add is always, always welcome.
Wonderful.
Because this is brand new.
Kevin, thanks for joining us today. I'm so pleased to be talking about some other kind of contagion besides what we're living in today. And you are going to start something big. I love it. And be well, my friend. I got a pair of socks with your box in mind, and take care.
Thank you, Missy. Have a great one. Thanks for having me.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Jared Dufresne, and we are in the good hands of Taylor Clark today. I'd like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, and find a way to step up today.